This is my commentary on Philip Roth's The Ghostwriter on pages 151 through 155. I chose this passage primarily because of its innate drama, because it's a passionate confession with a lot of really powerful contrasts between what is whole and what is half or only partial, between anger and peace, and even trust or distrust. I thought the main thematic issue in this piece was primarily the duality of the scene, how there's this two-sidedness to every single issue in many of the things Amy or Anne says, and also the things that Lanoff thinks as Nathan imagines all of this. The first real instance of this duality that I noticed was in the two sides of herself that Amy or Anne notices. One side is hurting, ugly, and angry. She describes that half as like spiders or rats or flayed, where all the skin has been peeled off and only this bloody, harsh, angry version of yourself is left over. Essentially imperfect. The other side is the good girl, this Anne Frank in the diary, where nothing terrible has happened, where she makes these observations about life that are beautiful and pure, and that the Jewish community respects. This side of her is represented when she imagines herself crying out, or cries out, "I was pretty, I was whole, I was a sunny, lively little girl." This is powerful precisely because it stands in such direct contrast to the bloody, flayed side. Imagery of half is very powerful in this. Only half of her body is flayed, the other half is perfect. There's this duality, this split, this tugging between the two, where she can't figure out which one she is, and other people can't either, which is the next place where duality appears. It's evident in the reactions that Anne Amy imagines. Either they look only at the flayed side, or they look only at the unhappy girl, the flayed girl. There's no in-between space as she's imagining it here, although an in-between space appears later. Here, it's markedly absent to emphasize this duality, because if there was an in-between, then it wouldn't be quite as blatant or as heart-wrenching or as dramatic. There are so many little places where Amy Anne admits this duality of her nature, where she talks about impersonating something, of pretending to be something, of looking at two sides instead of just one. You can analyze all of them until the cows come home, and there really are too many to mention. But the last bit of this duality theme is evident not in how Amy is speaking of herself or about this desired future, but in how Lanoff is reacting, and even how Nathan is imagining Lanoff reacting. There are two motives that Amy Anne can have. First, that Amy is telling the absolute truth, and that she has no ulterior motives, that she thinks that Lanoff is the only person who can truly understand what she's going through and can relate, because they both are essentially writers, and because she loves him and she believes that love can make everything better. The other option is that Amy or Anne is lying, but she doesn't think she is. That she has created this fantasy, she's fabricated this, like Nathan has essentially fabricated this entire story, fabricated this in order to be appealing and to affect Lanoff and make him love her and notice her, because otherwise she wouldn't be somebody. She wouldn't be noticeable, because otherwise Lanoff wouldn't be able to admit her beyond his own barriers, and she wouldn't be able to move beyond those barriers that are so present between Lenoff and his wife, and even between Lenoff and Amy. The most telling part of this imagining that Lenoff believes that Amy is doing is that Amy had chosen to become Anne Frank, that she chose because of her infatuation in order to enchant him, bewitch him, break through his barriers in order to get into his imagination and become his femme fatale, which ends the chapter. She wants to become this bewitching character that is unreachable and proves the almost the romantic downfall of Lenoff. What makes this duality particularly interesting is that Anne believes in her own truthfulness, and Lenoff believes that she has fabricated this to bewitch him, because of her own infatuation, for some ulterior motive that she cannot or will not admit to herself. Lenoff, or the imagined Lenoff, also calls this Amy's consuming delusion, which emphasizes his disbelief of her. More than anything, what confuses me about this passage is how it all fits into Nathan's imagination, because all of the little details are so meticulously imagined and the motivations are so perfectly created based on his experiences of the relationship between the two, as well as between Lenoff and his own wife.